Effectiveness of a church is measured in how effective it is to influence the culture. Do you know that we cannot just minister to ourselves? That we are here really to take the good news out to the world. And that's what we're here for mainly. And one of the things that that we need to understand is that the heart of God is to touch the lost. And to see the lost come in. And that's what we want to do when it comes to the church. We just get ourselves set up here. But I want us, first of all, to go in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. I'm going to talk with us about change. Because we need to be effective in the culture that we try to reach. Matthew chapter 4. Well, on the screen there you have the Message translation. But I want to read from the New King James, where we usually read. Matthew chapter 4, and starting at verse 18 and 19. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Message Bible says, walking along the beach of the Lake of Galilee, Jesus saw two brothers, Simon, later called Peter, and Andrew. They were fishing, throwing their nets into the lake. It was their regular work. Jesus said to them, "Come with me. I will make a new kind of fishermen out of you. I will show you how to catch men and women instead of perch and bass." Catching men and women. Well, how do we catch men and women? With the gospel. Because the word gospel means good news. And when we communicate with people, we need to bring them good news. And many times, Christians can use the Bible to bring bad news. But the Bible is good news. And when we bring good news, then at least we need to look like we enjoy the good news ourselves, right? You cannot bring the good news and look like the bad news. You need to look good and you need to show. Sometimes we are the gospel and the only gospel that some people will read. So when they look at us and listen to us. But Jesus said, "I will make you fishers of men." He wants us to bring men and women into the kingdom of God. Now, we're going to talk about that this morning. Fishers of men. Now, I don't know about you. How many fishermen are here and women? Not many. Few. All right. Well, you know what? Jesus wants every one of you to be a fisher of men. So I'm going to teach you how to fish today. And we sometimes fish. We're not always very successful out there with a fish, but sometimes we are. But it doesn't matter. We still enjoy doing that. They're over there in Romans. Let's go to Romans, book of Romans. I want to give you the hook that catches the fish. Romans chapter 1. To catch fish, you need a hook. Romans 1 and verse 16. Here's the hook. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation. For everyone who believes, first for the Jew first and also for the Greek." Well, just mentioning Jews and Greeks, you talk about culture. You talk about culture right away. And he says, this hook is good to catch every culture. You know, it's my privilege to travel to many countries in the world. And I've seen many churches in many places and many cultures, in many languages. And everyone is different. Every church that I've ever been to is different. It's not a cookie cutter business. And because they operate in a specific culture, they try to reach their culture. So they have to be accessible to the culture. Otherwise, you've got the wrong bait. Now, if you don't know much about fishing, then I need to tell you that you can go to the lake, and even though there may be a lot of fish, and you put your hook in, and only the hook, you're not going to catch anything. Because they don't bite hooks. They go after bait. You need to put bait on the hook. And the bait is what I want to talk about this morning. The bait. And I want to do that in the context of this church. You also need to know that culture changes. That if the church was effective in the 80s, and we still do things the same way as we did in the 80s, that by 2013, we won't be effective anymore. Because the culture changed. And if we don't change with the culture, I don't say you change the hook. You only change the bait. You can never change the hook. Now, some places they do that, but that's not what we do. We believe that this, Apostle Paul says, it's the power of God. It's the power of God unto salvation. It will always be effective. And through the ages, it always has been effective. And we don't need to change that because that is what God uses. But we can change the bait. Now, don't be scared. You're in a safe place. You can just be relaxed. But we need to look at the bait. We need to look at the bait that we offer to the fish that we want to catch. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed. In this gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. What is righteousness? Right standing with God. That is what it's all about, to bring people into right standing with God, and you can only do that with the gospel. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. There's a lot of people out there that will not believe because what they saw and the kind of bait that they've been offered, they're not interested. Now, when we go fishing, the first thing we need to know if we want to catch some fish is what kind of fish are there in the lake and in the spot where we're going. Yeah, there are all kinds of fish here. You know, I don't know all the fish here in Canada, but there's bass and there's salmon. We caught some of you have seen the salmon that we caught. And lake trout, nice big 13, 14, 15 pounds. And all kinds of fish. But if you want to catch salmon, you need to put on the bait that salmon goes after. The salmon has an appetite for. Yeah, you cannot catch salmon with bass bait. You need to know, first of all, where the fish are, and then you need to put the right bait on the hook. Otherwise, you're not going to catch anything. And you can blame the fish, but really, you're guilty. You can blame the fish, well, the fish don't bite here. The fish don't bite here. What's wrong with the fish? No, there's nothing wrong with the fish. Maybe it's wrong with the bait. We want to be fishers. Jesus said, I want to make you fishers. Now, if you haven't been a fisher yet, then Jesus wants to make you a fisher of men. He wants you to catch fish. And he wants this church to catch fish. And so we need to learn. He says, I'll teach you how to catch fish. And we're going to learn how to. Well, there's the hook. There's the hook. But that's not enough. Right? If you put that in the water, you're not going to catch anything. You won't catch anything with that. That's just the hook. But you have to have it. You can't just have the bait, you have to have the hook. Every bait, and I'm going to show you some lures this morning that we use when we go fishing. And you will be surprised. You will be surprised to see what's out there when it comes to lure. It's a nice word, lure. You need to lure them into the kingdom. How do we lure them in? With good bait. The right kind. The right kind of bait. Now, some fish are ugly. But still fish. It's still a fish. And you know, when Jesus catches an ugly fish, he turns it into a beautiful fish. And that's an ugly fish. But if you want to catch the ugly fish, and sometimes we ignore the ugly fish. You know what? When I read the Bible and I read about Peter, the Apostle Peter, in his unsaved days, he's a person that I wouldn't waste time on. He's arrogant. He's very ignorant. He speaks before he thinks. He always has his food in his mouth. And I'll say to myself, well, you know what? I don't think this guy will make it great in the kingdom. But look what Jesus did with him. He turned him into an apostle. And he wrote some things in the Bible that we still use today and still blesses us today. So when you look, you're in a place where there's some ugly fish, catch them. Don't ignore them. Don't throw them out. Catch them. Because this gospel will change them. This gospel will change them and make a new creation out of them. So here's the heart of God. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, which means right standing with God. Then all these things that we work so hard to accomplish and get our hands on, it'll just be given to you. The first thing he says is seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom. The thing that touches the heart of God is to bring people into the kingdom. That's the number one issue on the heart of God, is to bring people into the kingdom. Nothing is more important to God than that. Nothing. No, there are some good things. Thank God, the good news is good news. There's healing, there's peace, there's joy, and all the benefits of the kingdom are there for us. And thank God for that. That's good news. That's good news. But and God wants to give it to you. And Jesus paid for it on the cross for us to have and to enjoy. But the number one thing in the heart of God is to bring people into the kingdom. That's the number one issue. Knowing that, we need to set ourselves up to do just that. We need to make ourselves so accessible to the culture that they will come. But you put the bait on their end like they won't come. They won't come. The culture has changed. We're not in the 80s anymore. And we're not in the 90s anymore. And we've moved more than a decade into the 2000s. And the culture keeps on changing. I stand amazed at how fast the culture has changed just in the last few years. And it's almost as if it's speeding up, which means we need to speed up and stay relevant and stay accessible to this culture. You know, you look at some churches, and when you study church history, what you find is very interesting. There's a very stable pattern. And when God started to reform the church after it really got out into darkness in what we call the dark Middle Ages, and God started reforming the church, he raised up a man that discovered that salvation is not by works, it's by grace. It's a gift. And you take it by faith. When he saw that, it brought a revolution into the church. There was a lot of resistance. There was persecution. A lot of people died for that belief. But it changed the church. Not everyone changed with it. Some churches still do what they did and how they did things in the dark Middle Ages. The dress and all the paraphernalia. I preach in some of those churches, you know, when I go. And I stand before all those images and statues and things. And we have life-giving churches in there. And we preach the good news. But some churches didn't move with the culture. And they're still there. Somebody says they dress up like mother and then you call them father. Well, that's not going to help to... That's not good bait to bring the fish into the kingdom. No. We need to be relevant to the culture. and so they lived with that revelation. But God has more revelation to... He had more and still has more. And so he continued. And every time God brought new understanding and new revelation to the church, he had to raise up someone new. Because the previous one thought, well, I know it all. I know it all. And God used me to bring this revolution in the church world. Excuse me. And I'm the one that God uses. But I'm not changing. So God raised up somebody new. And the process repeated itself. There was this new revelation that came. Resistance from the old. And persecution. And suspicion. And then they ran with that. And then the next one, and the next one, and the next one. And we need to be careful not to be caught in that pattern. We need to be very careful because God is not finished with the church. He's not finished. We have not arrived yet. And we need to know that. Then, and we should never forget that as God changes us inside the church and he brings us into maturity and to greater understanding, that we still have a responsibility to be fishers of men. And that never changes. That never changes. And should we be ever conscious of that call upon every Christian's life? We are fishers of men. That was the first thing Jesus told them when he called them. I want to make you fishers of men. He didn't say, I want to make you doctors of theology. He didn't say that. He didn't say, I want you to become bishops and apostles. He didn't say that. As a matter of fact, the word apostle simply means sent one. You're sent. You're sent to take the gospel. That's an apostle. And so that's what we are. And that's what we're supposed to be fishers of men. Okay, let's go back to the fish. Some of them are not good looking. But some are. And sometimes there's just one. Sometimes there's just one. We need to catch that one fish. But sometimes you have many. Yes, how the Apostle Paul did that. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 19. Even though I am free of the demands and expectations of everyone, I have voluntarily become a servant to any and all in order to reach a wide range of people. A wide range. Let's all say a wide range.
A wide range.
Not just our type. A wide range. Everybody qualifies to come into the kingdom. A wide range of people, religious, non-religious. Meticulous moralists, loose-living immoralists, the defeated, the demoralized, whoever. I didn't take on their way of life. I kept my bearings in Christ. But now look. But I entered their world and tried to experience things from their point of view. I have become just about every sort of servant there is, in my attempts to lead those I meet into a God-saved life. New King James says, I have become all things to all men. I have become all things to all men. If you want to communicate with an ant, you need to talk what ants talk. You need to come on their level. You need to think like they think. My brother is a more evangelistic type. He likes to go to the rough places, sinners. He says, I like to be among them because I know how they think, because I was one of them. He says, I don't worry. He says, I know. We had a very interesting thing in our family when my father-in-law passed away. He lived in a hotel where they kind of cater for senior people. And when he passed away, we couldn't go. I asked my brother to do the funeral. And the hotel manager said, we're going to have the funeral right here in the hotel. He opened the bar for that. Brought chairs in, and a lot of people came in to drink, and they said, there's no drinking here today, we have a funeral. And my brother said, he says, the best funeral service I ever had. Because in that bar, a whole bunch of people got saved. In the bar. What did he do? He became all things to all men to save some. He didn't stick to his kind. He didn't stick to his way of doing things. He changed and he came on the level and he went to where they went so he could catch them. The fish are not in here. They're out there. You can't go fishing in your backyard. You got to go to the lake. Right? Jesus said, I want to make you fishers of men. How do we fish? We got to have the right bait. We got to have the hook. Without the hook, don't just give them the bait. Some people make the mistake, they just give them the bait, but you got to have the hook. If you want to reel them in, you got to have the hook. And you got to have the right bait. Look for the kind of person you're dealing with and give them the bait that they will take. Well, if we did my father-in-law's funeral in a church, a whole bunch of people would never be saved. Never. Because they don't go there. That's not where they go. But he went where they go. And he caught them. I think the number one thing that the church needs to be delivered of is tradition. And we develop our own little subculture that becomes a wall around us that is so thick that people cannot enter in. And we need to deal with that and get rid of our culture, and we need to get rid of the walls and traditions so that we can become effective in this culture where God placed us. We've got to change things, people. We've got to change things. I know people don't like change. One time in Belgium, we decided to just change the way we set up the chairs in church. It used to be like this. Then we put the pulpit there on the other side of the wall, the other wall. And the Sunday morning, when the people came in, they were angry. Because now they couldn't find their seat where they always sat. And they were angry with us. We had a revolution, a rebellion on our hands. Just because we changed, they were so stuck in their culture. We cannot get stuck in the culture. We're not here. One of the big mistakes that the church today realizes was in the early days when they sent missionaries into Africa, was instead of preaching the gospel, they went to preach culture and messed them up And we still struggle with them today because of that. And they tell us when we go. When I go, that's one of the first things they tell us. You messed us up. And they're right. They're right. We're not there to change their culture. We're there to adapt to their culture so we can get them saved. Amen. And they will serve God in their culture. But we're not there to tell them how to dress. Most churches, when you walk in the church is not dressed like the culture. And the culture walks in and they say, well, I don't fit with these people. I'm not going to get a suit. Just so I can go to church and pay $300-$400 and put a tie on. I never have a tie. I never had a tie. We're not here to teach people to wear suits. We're here to get people righteous with God. He says, I entered their world and tried to experience things from their point of view. I've become just about every sort of servant there is. How many of you are willing to become all kinds of servants? Come on now. We need to change. You want to become a fisher. In my attempts to lead those I meet into a God-saved life, I did all this because of the message. I didn't just want to talk about it. I wanted to be in on it. I wanted to be in on it. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I want to read from the New King James. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And verse 19, for though I am free from all men, what a great sentence too. What a great confession. I am free of all men. I am free of all. You cannot manipulate me because I have not adapted to your church culture. Don't make me feel guilty because I'm not here to adapt to your church culture. I'm here to see people get saved. I'm free from all men. I have made myself a servant to all that I might win the more. And to the Jews, I became as a Jew. He's talking about the law here. And you cannot find in this Bible a greater fighter against the law than the Apostle Paul. He wrote 3 books against the law and to explain grace. And he says, but to save Jews, I become like one of them. And to the Jews, I became as a Jew that I might win Jews, to those who are under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law, as without law. Not being without law toward God, but under the law toward Christ, that I might win those who are without law. To the weak, I became as weak. To the weak, I became as weak. Too many Christians boast about their so-called Christian strength, and they put themselves so far out of reach that nobody will listen to them. They think you're a freak. You're a freak. Paul says, to the weak, I became like the weak. I sat there, I listened to their complaints. And I complained with them a little bit. But I told them, look, there's a way out of this. Let's go for it. And I put my arm into this, and we walk out of there towards victory. I caught a fish. Come on now. Amen. To the weak, I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Now this I do for the gospel's sake, the good news' sake, that I may be a partaker of it with you. I become all things to all men. We need to make this the motto of this church. We have become all things to all men. To save some. Let's go lastly to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. And we read from verse 5. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What it really means is this. You got to think like him. You got to think like him. Now he's going to tell us how Jesus thought. Who, being in the form of God, did not consider it a robbery to be equal with God. What it means is this. Jesus was God. Jesus is God. But he did not say to himself, look, I want to save those people out down there that are lost. But in order to save them, I need to become like them. And when he thought about that, he didn't say, that's robbery. I'm losing something here. I'm being robbed. I'm being robbed of something. I'm being robbed of my high position. I'm being robbed of sitting at my Father's right hand. I'm being robbed by sitting among the angels and receive their worship. I'm robbed. He didn't say that. Verse 7, but made himself of no reputation. He made himself of no reputation. He did. This is what the Apostle Paul did. The Apostle Paul, this great apostle with all his revelation and his wisdom and his understanding and the many miracles that happened through his ministry. For him to say, to the weak, I became weak, that's robbery. He robbed himself of who he really became in Christ so that he can save the weak. He robbed himself of that place. But that's not the big deal. Of who we become in Christ, we have this tremendous knowledge and revelation and understanding and faith and all of that and glory and the things we like to talk about. He said, to save the weak, I don't talk about those things. I become like one of them. And I don't consider it robbery. I don't consider that robbery. Now, Jesus did the same thing. That's where the Apostle Paul learned that. Verse 7, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant. A servant. The Son of God, a servant. And coming in the likeness of men. Now, you understand that when Jesus came, all men were lost. They were fallen beings, every single one of them. A fallen being. He says to save them, I need to become like one of them and look like one of them and live like one of them. Verse 8, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. It's the death of the cross is a criminal death. He went to save criminals. He became one without sin. So that he could save us. He had to become a man so that he could be relevant to us. The Bible says there in the book of Hebrews, he was tempted with every temptation that we are tempted with. Because he had to understand what it is to be a man. He had to understand that. Why? So that he could save us. He understood. You think you go through temptations? Oh, he had it. Why did he go through that? So that he could understand what you struggle with, so that he can save you and gave you hope. He changed. Even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has also highly exalted him. There's a law, there's a principle, a spiritual principle that goes like this. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will raise you up. Don't go to the world with your huge understanding and try to impress them with your knowledge and your insight. That's the wrong bait. They don't take that bait. I've made that mistake. I remember some of those people and wonder if somebody else with more wisdom maybe went their way and got them saved. In my early days, I made that mistake. You cast pearl in front of the swine. They don't understand what you're talking about. It's not the right bait for them. You got to give them what they can handle. You got to start talking what they talk about. The thresholds of our churches have become way too high. Way too high for people to enter in. You think about that. If you only remember one sermon of mine, this is the one. You can forget everything else that I said over the years that I've been here, but this one we cannot forget. Therefore, God has also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. Why did God do that? Because he did what God so desired, that's to see lost humanity saved. And for him to do that, he had to humble himself. He had to become like one of them so that he could get to them. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is what glorifies God. Thank God for revelation. Boy, I tell you, we discover some deep things in God. This Bible is an amazing book. And we like to dive into the deep things. I'm one of them. I stand amazed at this book. I've read this book since I was 12 years old. And I continue to discover gems here. It's deep. But the power of it is in the simplicity. It's in the simplicity. This gospel, this book, was not given to recycle among ourselves. It is the bait that saves people. It's the hook that catches people out there and bring them into the kingdom. And we need to know how to handle it. We need to know how to be good fishers of men. And so, culture, we cannot blame the culture. We can only blame ourselves and change so that we will be relevant to the culture that we want to see saved. Hey, there are some tough cultures out there. You know what? I travel many parts of the world and I see what's going on. I was in a church in Turin in Italy a year or two ago. And what I usually do when I go to a church for the first time, I ask the pastor, what's the dress code? Well, I actually came by train and I had jeans on and just a shirt that hung out and so on. It was hot. He says, well, you're dressed for church. Okay. And sneakers. And I said, what time does church start? 9 o'clock on a Thursday evening. I said, well, how long do I preach? We only start at 9. He says, well, you go to 11 or 11:30. I said, nobody will be back the next day. The next day, there were more. And the day after, I was there for 4 days. There were even more. There were even more. There was a guy, we were in the churches recently, where a young guy, after service, I saw he had his skateboard there with him. Thank God he felt confident to do that because he was at the right place to get saved. When you close that kind of thing, you chase the fish out. Come on now. We've got to challenge the way we think. We've got to change the way we think. We need to change the way we do things. We need to change the way we live so that we can understand that one of our first calls as Christians is to be fisher of men. We will be effective. We will be effective. Now, don't run away when you see changes coming. Don't run away now when you see change coming. Amen. You've got to be brave now. Because we're fishers of men. We learn how to fish. And we don't want to spend week after week after week talking about how to fish. We want to actually catch the fish. Let's all stand.